We're actually, because of Purim, we lost ground, and we're essentially only a blot ahead, tops. We, exactly. I'm Rabbi Yossi, which is almost at the end of Hammond Alf. You have it? Okay, so Gemara said last week that if you have a chucha matuach, you have a the size of a root, which is the size of a weaver's loom, which holds things in place, so that even if the rest of the tree gets uprooted, so the tree is still considered to be mechobel karka, and therefore it doesn't lose its status vis-a-vis your law. Okay? So, Amar Rabbi Yosef said, afilu yesh bo shol shorim, however, you should be aware that the principle is not hard and fast, meaning this to this extent. Sometimes, even if a tree is 3 years old, ain't bo kemachot shomitu, it doesn't have kemachot shomitu, it doesn't have this needle breadth, meaning that if you find a root that breadth, you know that the tree is 3 years old, and that the tree is out of the din of arla. But sometimes the tree can be 3 years old and not have a root that breadth. So it's a kula, not a chumra. That if we find the root that broad, we assume that it already has gone past the 3 years. But even if it doesn't have a root that broad, it might still be past the 3 years, and you might be okay nonetheless. Okay? So, on Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said concerning this, Masis and beside Rabbi Yossi, that we have a Bryce which is a riot to Rabbi Yossi in this respect. Amar Rabbi, what does it say? Rabbi said that Afksha Oksha Omru, that there's, although the Bryce here is brought that in shorthand, there's a locha that if you have young saplings, and there are 10 of them within a base of sign, within 50 by 100, 5,000 square amos, then you can plow the area where they're growing right until Rosh Hashanah Erev Shemitah. You don't have to stop 30 days before. By full-grown trees, they don't need as much nurturing, so therefore you have to stop 30 days before. By these trees, you can go right up to Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to stop earlier. So as long as they're young, they're natios, they're saplings. How long are these saplings? Even when they said the loch of saplings, they said up to benos chamesh, benos sheish, benos sheva. They may, it says that it's up to 5 years old and 6 years old and 7 years old. So the Gemara asks, the question here is not explicit, but what does it mean? It's either 5, 6, or 7. Ela bikfanim benos chamesh, when we're dealing with grapevines up to 5 years old, it's still considered to be a sapling. Betainim, whereby a fig tree b'nos sheish up to 6 years old still sapling, b'zeisim an olive tree b'nos sheva up to 7 years is still sapling. I asked the Gemara, v'anan chamei hadein marvasa detena, don't we see even younger fig trees younger than 5 years than 5 or 6 years old asir, which grow fruit? So must be is that even though they grow fruit, nonetheless, we're always looking at the size of the root. And until the size of the root is this size of Machat Shomotuach, so it's not considered to be fully developed yet. And therefore, even if it's growing fruit, even if it's older than 3 years old, since the roots are not yet fully developed, you can still plow in that area right till Rosh Hashanah before Shemitah begins. Is that clear?
What's the connection between if the root is
they're still saplings? Halacha, saplings require more nurturing, so therefore these are still considered to be saplings. They still require more nurturing, so therefore you can plow them right into Rosh Hashanah. No, not to do with Orla. Right. It's much past Orla, but still, since the roots are small, so therefore you can are small in diameter, so you can continue to plow right until Rosh Hashanah Erev Shemitah. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yudan, and that's what Gemara says. Amar Rabbi Yudan, Barabi Trifon, the son of Rabbi Trifon, instead of Kirabi Trifon, Laovio are talking about, and what the vine sees as being young trees, the width of the roots. Okay? Says Umar for the, now is a quote for a Mishnah. Elon Shinekar Bo Brecha. You have a tree which was uprooted, but it had a runner growing from the tree into the ground, right? You had taken a branch of the tree and run it back into the ground. So we said that we go in the in that case as to when the runner was placed back in the ground. In other words, even the tree is 50 years old. The runner is 2 years old, so now the tree was going to have a status of orla for the next year. So Sesmar, just on a complete tangent, what does Ubo Bracha Brecha mean? Ubo Bracha. There are those who say that it means that it has a bracha, meaning that the runner which runs off is a bracha to the tree because it's an extension of the tree. Rabbi Chaim Shabbi Yochanan say Ubo Bricha. No, it's not. The Girsa is not bracha, although it has the same meaning. The Girsa is bricha. On Ramon said, Is B'nai Nash, there are certain individuals, Shmon Bricha, whose name is Bricha. Command Amar, like that which it says in Chumash, Bo Bruch Hashem, come the blessed of God. So if you find somebody, a chassid, whose name Bricha, Burich, you know, for a Bricha, so then that's because it alludes to the fact that he's blessed of God. Okay, getting back to our, let's, a little bit of a gadata. Rabbi Zir and Rabbi Yassi, Rabbi Lezer and Shem Rechina, and Rabbi Bo, Rabbi Chira Lezer, and Rabbi Chayina and Shem Rechina and Gamliel said, it's interesting, the way they grafted things in the old days was they would graft also two living trees together. So they would take the younger tree and graft it onto an adjacent older tree. That's called sipuk. It's not what's called in English grafting. It's when you take a branch from one tree and graft it onto this tree. But sipuk is when you join together the branches of two trees adjacent to one another. Okay? So yaldash the sipuk of cane, if you have a younger tree, you graft it onto an older tree. So the Torah yalda, even though the younger tree is within the 3 years of orla, it's now exempt because it receives the status of the older tree. Amrei b'chir barbo masni somra cane. We have a bride which indicates this. It says, Sipuk al Sipuk. Sorry, Sipuk ufanim. If you have this arrangement by grapevines, Sipuk al Sipuk, and you're adding on one tree to another tree, you know, in a whole row, maybe add on tree to tree to tree down the line. So, Ava Bishabichal Oretz, even though each one adds its own runners into the ground, Mutter. They're all permissible. Why? Because we look at them as being all interconnected, and some of them are older than 3 years old. V'chash lomar shema yishrisha yalda ad shalot yisacha minazkena. When second asked the Gemara, l'chora we should be worried that maybe the younger tree took root in the ground before it became glued, so to speak, before it adhered to the older tree adjacent thereto. So why are we not afraid of Orla? So this is a rhetorical question. What the Gemara means to say is that it must be that Sipuk works. In other words, despite the fact that maybe it took root in the ground before it got, the graft took hold to the adjacent tree. Nonetheless, we look at the graft as determining the nature of the tree, not the taking root in the ground. So it's a very big chiddush, a very big kula by Sipuk, that we give it the kula of the tree next to it, not when it actually took root in the ground. It's a great loophole.
Maybe
here.
Because it's with the younger trees receiving nourishment from the older tree.
Yeah, that has to be the case, right. And now Zumar is going to go into that a little bit greater detail. But first, Rabbi Chanina is going to argue. Rabbi Chanina prayed to Rabbi Hillel, the Rabbi who says Rabbi Hudai. That's only called Rabbi Huda. Because that which we say that Sipek Yalta Biskena works, you take the younger tree, graft the older tree, exempts the younger tree from Orla, that's called Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda Amramis Ache Ahi Achlo Tashrish. Rabbi Huda says we definitely know that it makes a unit with the adjacent tree before it puts roots in the ground. But if you don't know that, according to him, if it's possible to put the roots in the ground before it created a unit with this adjacent tree, so then he would takarasser it. Rabbi Yossi B'Shem Re'el said, Shroshim ein bohem mamish. Now he says even further. He says the roots have no significance. Now, roots here doesn't mean the roots. Roots here means the sipuk. The shrosh me'meh mamashi means that we don't look at all at the grafting. What's the status of the tree, the grapevine, when it's planted in the ground? That's it. The grafting doesn't do any, make any difference. He argues the entire previous Gemara. Right. He argues everything we just learned. Okay? On Rabbi Zeh, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Zeh said to Rabbi Yossi, Befeilu Shema Tana, mean the Rabbi Yochan, the Jew that's explicit, Rabbi Yochan, Omin Shli Tase. Maybe error from, excuse me, the opinion of Rabbi Yochan elsewhere. What's the opinion of Rabbi Yochan elsewhere? The Tana came, we learned this way in the Bryce. Ikdish v'chakach nota. What happens if you consecrate a tree to Hekdesh and then you plant it? It was Hekdesh before it was planted, when it was still a sapling. Potsim in Orla. So it's exempt from Orla, because Hekdesh is exempt from Orla. Nota chakach Ikdish. What happens if you plant it and then consecrate it after it's already planted? Chayv Orla. It's Chayv in Orla. Why? Because the moment you planted it, it was already Chayv in Orla. In fact, the Makrish afterwards doesn't take away the responsibility to keep Orla. Vatu Tsarfin Meimar, perhaps you want to say, Hekdesh Potter Uzkena Potter. Let's draw a comparison. Hekdesh is exempt, Skena is exempt. Just like Hekdesh only exempts before the fact, not after the fact. So too, the Sipuk to Skena is not going to exempt you unless it happened before the fact with definitiveness. In other words, unless the sipuk occurred before the root took. But at the moment the root takes before the sipuk, tough luck, you're out of luck. Right?
Except we say the root doesn't take before the sipuk always comes first.
No. We're going to see cases where not that way. That's our assumption right now, that it's possible one comes before, either one comes first. Below Daniel says, but that's not a good comparison. Because it's possible that Hekdesh will not absolve you from the deed of Arla, because Hekdesh royally does so. Since Hekdesh could be redeemed, v'lechaivo, and could become chayev, however royal lachsho v'lechaivo, since you can consider it, meaning you can redesignate it, and make it chayev, therefore, if the Hekdesh follows the taking roots, it doesn't exempt the tree from Orla. He says another interesting point. We had this actually earlier. If you have a tree which is a younger tree, which you grafted onto to an older tree, but the older tree is made for a fence. It's a younger tree, they're both young. But the tree in which you grafted one is a fence tree, and fence trees are exempt. So we say that the graft onto that doesn't help either, because the fence tree can be redesignated in a moment to be a fruit tree, right? So therefore, if you graft onto Hekdesh or graft onto a fence tree, that's not considered to take that which is already taken root, the tree is already taken root, out of the category of Orla. But says, well, you know what? But here, perhaps, Isla Gabi's Kater Roy Lachsho Volov L'Chaiva, here we grafted onto an older tree, it's irrevocably non-Orla. In other words, by a case where the reason why the exemption from Orla is because it's Chveis Hekdesh, or because it's Siog, so that's reversible. Take it out of Hekdesh, redeem it. Take it out of Siog by changing it to a fruit tree. So therefore, the grafting onto that tree is not going to prevent the grafted tree from having the din of Orla. Because it's not grafted to something which is strongly exempt from Orla.
It's not permanently.
Right. But where it's a cane, it's an older tree. Exactly. So therefore, grafting on there, it's possible it's going to work even if it already took root. Perhaps grafting onto that takes off the problem. Okay? Says more further. Rabbi Yochanan says,
So Sipuk 2 and Hekdesh tree is still Chayv Orla?
Yes. Even if it never
took. Even if you never redeem it.
Right. Because it's a weak, it's a weak exemption, not a strong exemption like an older tree.
All right.
Okay? Rehavoam b'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Esrog shechonat, an esrog which already budded its fruit, already budded small fruit, b'shnasar in the third year. Now the Gra takes out the next three words, b'sivko l'chaver, and afterwards, after it already budded the fruit, you grafted on to your fellow esrog tree next door, afilu ma'isiv kama, even if it grows a lot more now, Osir, esrog remains osir. Why? She'en gidulei iser malin es iser. Once it budded as iser during Orla, the fact that it grows much more is growing out of that osir fruit, and therefore it can never become ois Orla.
Now, can we tell 3 years in an esrog tree? I thought that the harvest is always...
You can tell. We can't. But yeah, they can tell which fruit was there within the first 3 years. Sure. So they can tell. So therefore, I feel must come is also shegul is a malim es eser. That's it. Whatever grows afterwards can't take the esrog out. Now, the truth is, it's not just an esrog, as you point out. It could be any tree, right? Just esrog is, I guess, a common garden variety tree we can discuss. I think that that's where it's taking us, sir.
Maybe they chose us because you might think what I thought. Just because
that we can't tell.
It does, you know, the harvest is always different times.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe that's what we've chosen. I don't know. Huh, so, says Gemara. Yalda. Top of Ovaralph. Now, if it's a Yalda, meaning that there is no... It's a young esrog tree, but without any fruit on it, right? Shesipka, in that case, if you made the graft, to hoira yalda. So in that case, I say whatever esrog and grow on it, of course, now, are okay. Why? Because they're growing after the graft array took place. So it's ray the graft that took place, so therefore there was never any osir component in this fruit, and therefore that's permissible. Okay, is that clear? Depends if the esrog already budded or didn't yet already bud. That's the dichotomy. Okay? Says the Gemara, in Tamar, because if you're going to say, this is all part of that statement, in Tamar, if you're going to say, lo to'ago, that it's not mitzaher, because you grafted on before the fruit was there, I feel most of kam osir, so no matter how much the fruit added, it's still going to remain osir, right? So again, what the determining factor is there fruit on the vine at the time that I make the graft? If there already is, then it remains osir, there's nothing to do. If there wasn't yet fruit on the vine at that point, then after I graft, it becomes mutter. Okay? Says more further, Rabbi Zira b'shem Rabbanit said, Esrog b'shem chonat b'shem b'shnas orlo. An esrog which budded during an orlo year. V'yotz b'shnas heter now went to a heter year, right? Went into the fourth year. The next two words are a typo. Afilu mosif kama osir. Even if it adds on very much, it's osir. It still remains osir. Now that we know, right? We just learned that. Here comes the chiddush. Lokinola b'kazayis. You have any kazayis that says esrog, you get malchus. We flog you. Now that's strange. That's more. Rav Meisha, the Rabbi Zira. Rav Meisha said to Rabbi Zira, "Taita milun atanormi." He just said two things. He told us two things. Vino pliin chado alchad, and they argue one on the other. What are the two things? And here you say, it sounds like when an esrog began growing during Orla, and they continued growing after Orla, the reason it's osir is because that which grows out of the esrog, which is osir, cannot eradicate the previous esrog. But that doesn't mean that the whole esrog is osir. It means that the additional growth is not strong enough to overcome the original growth. But is the whole esrog osir? No, only the original growth is osir. So say the esrog, when you grafted it, say the esrog was this big. And now it became this big. So now, this part's osir. This part can't be mavatalit. But if I eat a kazayis of this part here, am I chayev? No. Because what's the kernel, what's the part which is really osir? This part. Okay? So it's obviously, it's not that simple, but you get the idea. So now, that's one Gemara which you said. But, so how can you say, no matter what kazayis you eat of it? She'll only be look if he ate from what's that which is already there before it. Be loka based on the proportion, what grew during Arlo, what didn't. Rabbi Yehuda has said there's a difference. In the one case where I forgot what this means. Just give me a second. Yeah, it's really very simple. Is the way he's learning, Rabbi Yoino. He says like this. He says there's a trick here which he planned, which we didn't notice, which is that in the case of
let me show you
in the over here. Here it says Esrog Shul, three lines to the top. It says Esrog Shul Chonat. You see that?
Yes.
Down here it said Esrog Shul Chonat B'Shas Orla. Same thing it sounds like. The Yotzishna said the same thing, but here it says Vesipko. Here it doesn't say Vesipko. On the bottom of Hamabe it says Vesipko. On the top of Vav Amad Alf, it doesn't say Vesipko. So it says this is the difference. In this case over here, there's a sipuk. Where there's a sipuk, that means that now, during the Orla year, after you did the sipuk, there's sustenance flowing into the esrog from a mutter tree, because you grafted onto a mutter tree. So here the chamalkus is going to be based on proportion. Because here, not everything is growing in the Isser, right? Some of the life force is coming from Heter. Here, the Esrog budded during the Orla year, continued growing after the Orla year is over, but there was no additional life force which is derived from a new source. So here, once it started off being Osir, it continues to be Osir. Okay? And here, therefore, the entire fruit is the prohibition, and in the moment you eat it, kazayis to the fruit, that's awesome. So the critical difference between the two cases said here there was a sipuk, added extrinsic life force. Only get malchus based on proportion. Here there was no sipuk. Everything is intrinsic, and therefore you get malchus even on a kazayis. Okay? No matter what kazayis you eat. So that's some more answers. Rabbi Yehuda kan machmas atzmo uchai. The case over here is a case where it gets on Vav Amud Aleph at the top is where it gets chius on its own. So that's why you get malchus no matter what kazai see from it. The kan machmas sipuk here gets additional chius on ham and the base at the bottom from that which you made a sipuk. So therefore here you only get malchus proportionally based on what grew before the sipuk and what grew after the sipuk. Okay? Says Mar Meata. Esrog shechana b'shas orlo, an esrog which budded during an orlo year. V'yotze b'shnas heter, and then it continued to grow during a heter year. V'sip kol chaveiro, and you add it on to its friend. Now here it's complicated because here the gears is all messed up. It should be. You see where it skipped out where it says tier ruzed said. You see that a line below? Tiaru, there's a missing Zion there. Tiaru Zeze. So the way he changes the gears on. The name of Gra, Lo Tiaru Zeze. They're not Matar each other. It's a matter of how many sipuks he make. You know, you might not get Malkus except based on perhaps a proportion, which is going to be extremely watered down. But the bottom line is that as long as the Esrog started growing during the Orla year, it was chaynet b'shas orla, that's it, remains awesome forever. There's no lo tiaruzetze, never is misaki. Okay. Rava b'shem Rav Chista, b'shem Rav Yecha. Sorry. Rav Chista and Rav Chista, Tavei Rami, they both said b'stam chalukin. They're arguing about a case where it's stoma. Now, who's arguing? Turn back to the Mishnah for a moment. And hey, down on the base. So it said, Sipukakfanim. Do you see that? Sipukakfanim. You are grafted one to another. Sipukagabi, Sipuk. You had grafted a whole row, one and the other. Abo Pishavichim Baret. Even though then you ran a runner to the ground, mutter. Right, Meir said it says it depends. Makom shekoicha yafeh, where the sipuk is a good one, mutter. The tree is permissible. Makom shekoicha ra, where the sipuk it doesn't take well, usur. It's forbidden. Now we're going to try to explain this machlokus. Okay, so they both said bistam chalukin. Rameir, I want to argue the case where it's stam, where we don't know if it's strong or weak. Says more now. Wait a minute. Manan Kemi, what are we talking about? Eat over bari shu. If it's a clear thing, shukhai mikoch haskeno, that life force is coming into the young tree from the older tree. Divrako mutter, everybody should get its mutter. Eat over bari shu chai mikoch hayalda, and if the young tree is growing on its own, because it's a runner, the vehicle awesome. Everybody agrees it's awesome. El kina kame, what must you tell about bistam where it's not known? So if that's the case, Kate said, you're there. How do you know which is giving the sustenance? How do you know if the sustenance is coming from the older tree to which it's attached, or it's coming from the younger tree in and of itself? How do we know this? So Kate said, you're there. How do you know? Rabbi Shirachid said, Ima you are lean hapuchim klapia yaldo. If the leaves are turned towards the younger tree, then it means that the life force is coming from the older tree. If the leaves are turning towards the older tree, it's clear that the life force is coming from the younger tree. How do we know this? What's the simon here to know this? What's the psychological thing? Rabbi Yudan bar Chanin Simona. The way to remember this is the Achim in Chavrei. Somebody eats from their friend Boyd Mistakabe is embarrassed to look in their face. So therefore, if this is the older tree and this is the younger tree, and leaves are facing this way, where's the sustenance coming from?
The leaves are facing this way.
Right. Okay, it's coming from wherever the leaves are pointing away from. The giver always faces a person who lacks a kar satov. It's a tremendous Musar Haskel in this Gemara. The guy whose gas is being sustained lacks a kar satov, so he turns in the other direction. Okay? So here's another major typo. There should be really a question. So if that's the case, Nidug Ba'alin. So why is there a machlok Sarmein Rabbana? Let's check the leaves. What else? Why do we have to check anything else? Says Mora, very important question. Answer. Rabbi Yudan Avoy the Rabbi Master. Rabbi Yudan Father Master said the potter resolve or explain that story about case Shinosh Ra'alin. All leaves are gone, so we can't reckon by that. We have to reckon
by
I don't have anything by which to reckon. What do I assume? What is the basic assumption? Is the basic assumption that that we look at the quality of the trees involved, and whether this cana is a good tree and the yakama is a bad tree, and that akama says, we're going to the Leib Yushlaim bring down from the Rasalim and Pnei Moshe, you always assume that the younger tree is getting from the older tree, which is always the cooler. Okay? That's and you always make on this matter.
I'm trying to think of a cruden with the leaves. You know, the same thing, is it the same comparison?
It could be. Thing is, they turn towards each other when things are going well. No, they turn towards each other when things are going well. Yeah, things going bad, turn away from each other. So it might be the opposite, though. Okay, but it's A for creativity, that's for sure. Okay, says more further. Brecha shenifsika. What happens if the runner breaks off from the main tree? So then you start over again. It's not just talking about the runner. What if the tree itself from which the runner comes now gets uprooted? So what determines the age of the tree now? The runner, the shoot off the side. Okay, because that's what's still connected. Now, why is he telling us this? Because Rabbi Yosef said, "Nei Rabbi Yochum, once upon a time, an onion which you uprooted it, v'shaslo. Now you uprooted. I think you took off shuvah sumaitzus way. You uprooted the onion, and you took off maitzurit, and then you replanted it again. Okay, I think you're close, but you did it right. You uprooted it." Took off Meister, and then planted it again. So you have to take off Meister a second time when it grows. You see the question?
It's a question if it's a new plant or not.
Right, so the thing is the klutz factor sets in, and you came to Yishrish, wants to take Sut Meister Lefikulo. Too bad. You start over again. Also, Rabbi Chiyah B'Shem Yochanan said, "Botzo Shakro, V'Shasam, he planted a cave in Jehishish, what's against, takes root, Maisa Lefi Kulo." Now, all this is fine. But the Lotis Bar Meimar of Hachakein, don't think here it's the same thing. Here it's not the same thing. Here he says that,
you're reading about
Varla, yeah. Yeah, because it's talking about like this. Where the tree is uprooted and you replanted it, it's not automatically chayv and orla. In other words, by mitzvah, the moment a tree is onion is uprooted and replanted, it's chayv and mitzvah automatically, as if nothing ever happened to it. Even if you already mitzvahed it while it was on the ground, right? But now you chayv it again. He says by orla, it depends. If a tree was uprooted and now replanted, or held to the ground by that runner next door, right? It only becomes orla if the tree actually grew in this state. The tree grew in the state that a tree grew in the state of being reconnected to the ground. You know how much it has to grow in order to become osur? While it's reconnected to the ground? 1/200 of its growth. 0.5% of its growth. That already osurs it. Okay, so there, as opposed to suppose the onion, which is replanted, where you miser immediately, the once it takes roots, you miser immediately on the entire onion, even though already miser once before. Here by orla, it's not like that. By orla, everything is proportionate, and therefore I say that proportion is the right word. But unless once you replant the ground, it's not just enough to replant, it has to grow 1/200 in that situation, and then, only then, you become chayv and orla once more. Okay, so it's not immediate. That's the word we're stressing. Okay, says the word further.
The low tease bar. Oh, just that.
Chilfi show Rabbi Yochanan. Chilfi asked Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, and he asked Rabbi Shimon as well. Tevel Maushi asked Rabbi Yosef Messiah. We said Orla asked us 1/200. And therefore the fruit grew 1/200 of growth under Orla conditions, it remains also, right? What about Tevel? What about here Tevel doesn't mean untight, but it means tafel, spices. Yeah, spices of Orla. Maushi Asr B'Yosim Rasayim, do they Asr more than 1/200? Because spices obviously have very strong taste. On Le'in, yes, he said, Tevel B'Yosim Rasayim. Tevel, if it's a spice, it's more than 1/200, still Asr's. Ask the Gemara, but how can you say this thing we learned? Kol HaMechame, it's anything which causes fermentation, right? Sourdough. V'Ametavle, anything with spices. And anything which mixes by orla is awesome. Now, eat Tamer Lameyam Esayim. So it says the Gemara, if you're going to say that it's 100 or 200, that's the going rate, so to speak. Forgot the proof. Right, you got it. You're going to say that even by second, is this a proof or a question? Oh, I did such a bad mistake. I am so stupid. No, it's okay. I read all of it. Again, let's start from Chilfi. Chilfi Shol Rabbi Yochum Rabbi Shimon Tel Maoshi Yossi B'Yosin Yisayim Omerle, I read it in. Yes. That's not the way to read it. Ain Tevel B'Yosin Yisayim. It does not say more than 200. Spice is the same like anything else. It asks 1 in 200 just like regular Orla. Ain Tevel B'Yosin Yisayim. And that the Gemara asks, wait a minute, if that's the case, if you're going to say that, it says that anything which causes fermentation or spicing or mixture by orla is also, so it says, why is the price of stressing that it fermented or that it spiced? In Tamar, if you're going to say that it's a regular 100 shear, 200 shear by orla, so what do you mean that it fermented? What do you mean it spiced? Who cares? It's the exact same thing whether it fermented or spiced or not. Just say medameh, just say it's got mixed in. What are you stressing, spiced? What do you mean, spiced? It's no different. You understand what the Gemara is asking?
Yeah, it could be asked either way. You could say, well, even though you might think that because it's stronger, no, it's the same, it's locked out.
What?
Would you say that? They're asking, they're saying because it was emphasized in the Mishnah, means that it is stronger.
Right.
And therefore the 1-200 doesn't.
It asks in a much smaller proportion, that's right.
And I could say the same proof the other way.
How so?
The Brisa mentions it.
Yes.
Even though you might think that because it's stronger, that it's a small proportion. Mm-hmm. No, it's the same.
See, I don't think that. The problem is, I hear what you say. It's not really a Brisa, it's a Mishnah. And it doesn't specify shear, it just says they're usher. So our assumption is that usher there means that even if it's less than 1 in 200. Just the use of the word usher without masayim means it's more chomer. That's our assumption, okay? So it says more, you know what? Elaban novim anakayomim. A very strange answer. Avadim! It's regular spice that usher's in much less than 200. We're talking about grapes. When grapes are used as spice, what's their shear to usher? That's our shiloh which we're dealing with. Grapes use the spice. Now, Rabbi Yadat, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said, Bisholot somku. On that, Rabbi Yochanan answered that grapes have the same thing as anything else, because it's not really an herb, not really a spice. However, that's only if they're not raisins. Avlim somku, but if they are raisins already, yesh tevel, yesh mitzlaim, so it creates tevel, even, it creates the spices, and it answers even if it's more than 1 in 200. Even if it's 1 in 300, because it can still make a spice. Rabbi Chirsh Rabbi Yochanan also said a similar word, v'shlo bishlu. When is it bought to 1 in 200 of its grapes if it's not mature? Avlim bishlu, but if it already is mature, yesh tevel, yesh mitzlaim, so it answers even in greater proportions to 1 in 200. Okay? Now we have a whole edition here. A very basic edition. Rabbi Chiya, you don't have it. Rabbi Chiya bar Bo, I'm reading outside. Whatever. Rabbi Chiya bar Bo, Vesher Yishuv Levi said, Nois de Tami. The Halachim Nois de Tami. Call it Torah Kula. That which gives a taste is Zotzer. What's a Shear? No. That's the next opinion, which is in the Gemara. But the opinion which is not in the Gemara is it's Echol Mimeo. It's 1 in 100. Okay? So, now, back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Shev Shubalev, Yosher Rabbi Bitoya said, Nois di Tamim Echol Mishisham. 160. So it's a Machlekes. Amar Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Rabbi Chiya Bar Bo. Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said, Rabbi Chiya Bar Bo said it's 1 in 100. Oh, Rabbi Yossi Poligalach. First of all, Rabbi Yossi argues that. That's not so bad. But besides that, Masisa Pligal Trecho. The Brisa argues on both of you. What does the Brisa say? Right? They said all these things by Orla. If it ferments, if it causes spice, if it causes a mixture, it's awesome. In Tamerla Maya Masai, if you're going to say the proportion is 1 in 100 or 1 in 200, a few low chimitz, a few low tibel. Right? If it's going to say that Mishnah or Brisa is talking about when it's a regular case, right? There's no difference between whether it's spiced or not. So then don't bring down that we're talking about where it's spiced or fermented. Say, stop! It must be that it's always 1 in 200. This must be that this size is even 1 in 300, 1 in 400, because it's much more chomer. Must be spices and herbs and so on are so much more chomer. So it's a kash on you guys. Why is a kash on you guys? I forgot. If you guys say the normal shear is 60 or 100, so speak about normal. Well, 1 in 200. 1 in 100 would be totally referring to something else. All in Nami out to 1 in 200, except says that Mishnah, spices and herbs and so on and so forth, it's more, like 1 in 300. So he said, if no seitam is always 1 in 100, 1 in 60, why are you talking about specifically about Orla? Tell us that herbs and spices must be any regular bitul is much more than normal. It's more than 60, more than 100. Why focus the conversation on Orla? Speak about anything under the sun.
We're dealing with Orla here.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like such a strong question.
I mean, this thing was in town. You're talking about, like, Gita Noshe?
Yeah. I think I have the question wrong. Let me try it differently. Say the question like this. The question is that yeah. So how many the Gemara was that no say tam, which I said 60 or 100, it means even tavlin. That's the sheer of taste. And that the Gemara asked, so if that's the sheer of taste, how could they say over there by Orla that Ras is even 1 in 300? That's Gemara's question. It's a much more direct question. Because the Hami the Gemara is that it's 60 or 100 is also sheer for a tablet.
Is it the sheer for tablet?
It's not. That's the Hami meaning of the Gemara. And then the Gemara asks, so if that's a sheer for tablet, so then how can you say by Orla that it's more than 1 in 200, it's even 1 in 300?
But the premise is wrong.
Yeah, that's what Gemara's about to say. Says the Gemara, you know where it's 1 in 60 or 1 in 100? Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Tipater Basar Bebasar. When is the shear 60? Like pig and chicken. Then the shear is 60. By Echonami, by Tavlin, the shear is much more. Okay? So the premise is wrong, right? That's exactly the point. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, He Basar Bebasar, the same thing is true by meat and meat, He Sharko Yisurit. Or any other issue, such as cheese and meat, or, you know, any other thing of that sort. So it's not a tablet. Do I write about Moshe Rayochdon? Call a Yisur Mashiach and a Yisun. All Yisur and we're Mashiach, we reckon. Kilo ain't but, it should be butlo be kaflut. As if they're onions and turnips. which means all sorts of commonalities of vegetables or any other kinds of foodstuffs. The main thing is that it's not spice. Spice throws everything awry. But in foodstuffs, it's 1 in 60, 1 in 100. My Kadun, what came up concerning this? Ahain Omar. Well, Michael Dudy, what's where they arguing? I ain't on my nose. Time he who said that nose time is 1 in 100. Right on, and the person says nose time is 1 in 60. What's the machlokas? Madam, I know the time is 1 in 60. He also knows the time is 1/60. At I says as goya 1 in 60 by. Where do we learn our bittul barov from? I mean bittul tam. From Zerah B'Sheila. The halacha that when you bring a ram as an asher, you cook it whole. Even the Zerah, the forearm, is supposed to go to the Kohen together with the rest of the ram, which goes to the Yisrael. And of course, if you cook it together, so the forearm should ask for the rest of the ram for Yisraelim. Right? It does. From there we learn that the taste can be bought at a certain point. Now, how do they reckon what the shear is? So Madamar says 60. At he says that the forearm is 1/60th of the entire ram. Madamar Akameyu said it's 1/100. At Oysa Sazroyakumi also it's 1 in Machlok, he said it's 1 out of 100. Now, of course, there's such a tremendous machlokas. What's it based on? Madamar Akameyu, he says it's 1/100. At mighty at somos me as roa. He says you look at meat being bottled in meat. And that's 1/100. The meat of the Zra B'Sheila is 1% of the entire mixture. Okay? Madavar Echomishishim of the entire mixture with meat. Mad echomishishim ain't a moti is at somos me as roa. You don't take the bones out of the Zroa. And therefore the Zroa has a lot of bones, disproportionate amount of bones, the forearm. So therefore quite then the shear is 1/60th. Not 1 in 100.
Including the bones.
Including the bones in the Isser. Okay? But says Gemara, Okshem Shad Moiti Okshem Shad Moiti Esatomas Minas Zroa. Just like you take out the bones from the Zroa, yeah, quite a amount of holes, it's 1 in 100. So take out the bones altogether across the board. Just like you take the bones out of the Zroa, take them out of the whole ram. And then you'll come back to 1/60th, perhaps, okay? But the point is, now you know to take them only out of the forearm and not take them out of the rest of the arm. The rest of the animal. Lace Yachio. You can't do that. I skipped. No, I didn't. No. Lace Yachio. Can't do it. You know why? The Tzadim learned 18 official truma, means they're ever seen my truma. The refuse of the truma, let's say the husks, the shells, they don't join with the truma, lest there's a chulin, ta'as of the chulin, which will get mixed. But the husks and shells of chulin, they join it together with the chulin. The house is a truma to cancel the truma. Now, Rabbi asks like this: the husks of truma, do they join with the chulin to cancel the truma which is in the husk? The answer is yes. We paskin it does. Okay. The shells which are usher join with the stuff which is going to be mutter in order to be mevatel this, in order to cancel it. Adam Ras teaches us truma, the husks of truma meets the revesim achulin, they join with the chulin, louses the truma to uplift the truma. So therefore he holds we have to count the bones in the heter. In other words, the machlokas is everybody agrees that the bones join in with the matering substance. The question is, what's the status of the bones in the Zerah B'Sheila? Are those bones regarded as having significance? And they're part which goes to the Kohen, and therefore it's 1/60th of the rest of the animal? Or are those bones insignificant? And therefore the Zerah B'Sheila is only 1/100th of the entire animal. That's the machlokas. Okay?
They don't have any
psukim
to...
No psukim, just svara. Tani Rebbe Chiya said, Kol Masher Asarti L'cho B'mokam Acher. He argues on the whole previous Gemara. Says, you know what? Really, 100 is bad. You need 1 in 101. Or 1 in 60 is bad. You need 1 in 61. Why is that? Because he says, Kol Masher Asarti... You don't understand, though, Parshas Rebbe Shreila. Though, Parshas Rebbe Shreila says, Kol Masher Asarti L'cho B'mokam Acher. Anything I asked for you in other places, he tied to the Chokana, allowed you by Rebbe Shreila. But Rebbe Shreila is something which Taka would be us or anywhere else. So therefore, anywhere else, you need 1 in 101, not 1 in 100. 1 in 61, not 1 in 60. Only throws shows a case, special case. The fisher b'chol makom. The tisha said all over. May answer. 100 is also may avod mutzer. If it's 101, it's okay. But here, by throw show, which is a special case, I feel may mutzer. Even if it's 100, that's okay. Okay. Now, skip to the next word. Let's start a new part of our Mishnah. If it grew 1/200, once it got reconnected to the ground in an oil of fashion, it's also. How do you know it grows with 1/200? The base Rabbi Yani Misharein, the house of Rabbi Yani, they would to make a reckoning called in Yarzuva, with grass which we call the Yarzuva grass. Okay, to that, how do you know the rates of decomposition? Rabbi Shimon Chida said, Loki Echod Amini Echod. You gather one Yarzuva, and you leave one Yerzuva on the tree. In the time it takes for the one which you plucked off the tree to dry, let's say it takes 200 hours for it to dry. So what's Hosif Masayim? What? What would be 1/200th of 200? 1 hour. Because I say the proportion which it grows is an inverse proportion of the proportion which it dries. So the amount of time it takes to dry is, divide that by 90, I think we're saying. What? 200, sorry. Divided by 200, that's the amount of time it takes for it to grow 200 as well. Okay? Right. The halacha dal. The tia shorla. You have a plant of orla, which shall kiliak karam, or of kiliak karam, of a vineyard which became osir. She is arva matil tishka mixed up with the other saplings. Harez liyukal, you're not allowed to gather from any of them. Why is that? Because the mixture is not bata barov. Why is not bata barov? Even if they have a majority of mutter plants, why is not bata barov? Kokovu kamechza mechzadami. It's kavua. Old friend. It's kavua because nothing here is mixing. Every tree is standing by itself. Okay? Now, of course, this is Judaism. We got a loophole. If you did gather, Yalu Mechum Asayim, so it's Bata Barov, 1 in 200. Uvachli Skavin Lukopa, you're not allowed to intend, of course, to go and be located in the Chatkila. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Avi Skavin Vil, because you're allowed to go ahead and even do it even in the Chatkila. They'll be mutter 1 in 200. Now the reason why Rabbi Yossi is matter this is because it's not clear. The Chorad should be also right, but he says because he brings out two reasons. One is because that a person sees him does it was going to think he's just pruning his tree, and not that he intends to gather the fruit in order to eat, right? Just pruning his tree in order to make it grow better. And B, also it brings out a reason in the Bavli, which says that just because we let him gather, I don't like the second reason. We'll just leave the first reason. In other words, people are not going to assume he's going to eat from this, right? At least their iser. People just assume that he's gathering the bad branches or whatever the case may be. So there's no Mari sign in this house. Okay, so let's go on further. The tia shalorla, the tia shalker, kira kira, is the mamish about this question. How do you lose a sapling? What does it mean? The tia shalorla, I understand, right? But the tia shalkilia kerem, what does it mean you lost the tia of kilia kerem? It means the lost your sabbath of kilia kerem? It should be, the next word should be, the chi called the tia shalkilia kilayim bekerem? It must mean that he lost a plant in a vineyard. A plant in the vineyard which makes the vineyard kilayim. But Chacham, you have to be able to identify that plant, right? Because it's the one which is not like the others. This isn't obvious which one it is. So what does it mean you lost it? How can you lose it? So it says Markini Masis, no, this is what it meant. These are Ruga Shul Kili HaKerem. It's a Lomdisha thing. In other words, you had a whole patch of Kili HaKerem which got Osir. Because there was a grain in there. Then the grain got harvested. The patch is still Osir. Now the patch of grape bites gets lost in your bigger grape, in your bigger vineyard. That's where we have to come out to Bittul. Okay? On Rabbi Yossi Bar Abun, Rabbi Yossi Bar Abun said another pshat, but much simpler. He said, talking about a case where he brought a perforated plant which had grain in it, and he passed it underneath a grapevine. You don't know which one. Okay, so then it became clear at that point, but you don't know what happened afterwards. Okay. You know what? You said in our mission you're allowed to gather, but you're allowed to gather three clusters at any time. Why three clusters? Because I assume that the Osir cluster is Bato Barov. Amazing concept. Okay? And what the truth is, yeah, but the Gemara is going to ask how are you allowed to go and do that, right? The Chori now shouldn't be able to allow to go that in the Chatchila to go out and collect. Let's leave this. We'll come back to this tomorrow night.